The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. If you profess Christianity and claim to be a Christian, then you naturally want to think you are obeying God. You want to think you are living by the Word of God, the Bible. Now, you may not know much about the Bible, what it says, but you have heard a few people say things that the Bible says. Perhaps your pastor has told you that you should celebrate Easter, Christmas, and Halloween, and go to church on Sunday and give offerings. You have probably been taught that Christ was born on Christmas Day, and that Sunday is the Lord's Day, and that Christ died on Friday and rose on Easter Sunday at sunrise. And that if you believe Christ died for your sins, then you are a Christian, especially if you celebrate and embrace all the customs of Christianity. We like to think that we're all right the way we are. We don't like to be told that unless we are striving to live by every word of God, and that includes the Ten Commandments in the spirit and the letter of the law, that we are sinners. We like to think we're all right in the sight of God if we only obey just a little of what God says, such as doing a good deed now and then or helping out at church. Do you take God's word seriously? Do you study the Bible to see if what you have been taught is what the Bible teaches? And if not, are you willing to change and obey God? Or do you think it doesn't matter whether you obey God and His word or not? Is it more important to you to believe what others tell you about what makes you a Christian than what God and His Word says that makes you a Christian? We live in a world that doesn't even care about what God has to say about your conduct, about whether or not you obey His Word and His law. You might want to ask yourself, does my church teach from the Word of God, or does my church teach and practice a lot of pagan customs and traditions? The Bible teaches keeping the Ten Commandments, and that means the fourth one, the true Sabbath, which is Saturday, the last day of the week, not Sunday, the first day of the week. The Bible also teaches that you shall not covet. Now, if we would obey the commandments of God, then we would not have all the problems we have. If everyone would keep the tenth commandment, you shall not covet what belongs to your neighbor, that would be a big aid in eliminating many problems, such as divorce, theft, broken homes, big debt, bankruptcy, wars, fighting, and murder, and on we could go, listing evils that would begin to fade, such as lying and false advertisements. Human nature understands human nature. Why is it everything is on display? Why do we advertise so much? Well, because if we see it or hear about it, we want it. We lust and covet it, and we buy it. We lust and covet money and what it will buy. Notice what Paul had to say in 1 Timothy 6:6. The point is, my friend, we covet things that we can't afford. Then we have foreclosures and bankruptcies, and many other evils are spun from lusting and coveting things that you can't afford and things that you don't need. 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Indeed, contentment in this fast-moving, pressurized world is a great blessing, and that only comes by seeking first the kingdom of God, as Christ said we should do. Going on here, 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But we struggle to accumulate as though we will live forever." We seldom, if ever, think about the fact that as physical human beings, flesh and blood, that we are only temporary. So is everything we possess. Now, if we would keep that on our mind, just maybe we would seek those things above. If we did, we wouldn't be a covetous nation or an individual. It would help straighten out our priorities. As Christ said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all your needs will be taken care of." Going on here in 1 Timothy 6:8 now, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Yes, we should be content and thankful for the necessities of life, but are we? No, my friend, we're getting farther and farther from being content with the necessities of life. We aren't even content with all of our wants. We get it, we buy it, we want it, we buy things that we can't afford, and still we aren't content. We aren't a contented nation, we aren't a contented world, because we have thrown God out of our life. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. In other words, Paul is saying those that put their hope and their trust in uncertain riches, that they just have that on their mind, leaving God out of the picture, making riches or money or material possessions a god. God says it drowns men in destruction and perdition. Speaking of lusting and coveting physical and material gain and allowing it to separate you from God. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Notice what this says again. Let's read that verse again. Verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say it's the root of all evil. It says it's a root of all kinds of evil. And indeed, it can spend many evils. Lusting and coveting for money will cause you to lie, cheat, steal, break your word, do shabby work, charge high prices, and to be an idolater, as well as neglecting your family and friends. And it will cause many sorrows, just like the Bible says. We need to realize that God is very smart, and we should listen and obey God. Yes, we should listen and obey what God tells us, how He tells us to live our life and conduct our life. Verse 11 continues, but you, O man of God, yes, if you want to be a man of God, Paul tells you how to do that and what to do. But you, O man of God, flee these things, that is, lusting and coveting for things that you can't afford and things that you can't have and shouldn't have, and pursue righteousness. Yes, pursue righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, as Christ said. Pursue righteousness. And God says all of His commandments are righteous. In other words, you pursue that way of life. It says pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. God says flee coveting, for it will do nothing but harm. Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God isn't against being rich. God wants His people to prosper and be in good health. He tells us that in His Word. What God says don't do is not to make a god out of riches. Not let anything separate you from your God, as it tells us in Romans 8, as Paul went on to tell us in that chapter. Going on here in verse 18 and 19, it says this, let them do good. That is, if you're rich, let you do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. In other words, if you want to be a Christian and you are rich, Paul is telling us, inspired by God, that you can't be a lustful and a covetous individual. Verse 19 says, storing up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Making eternal life your number one goal, not putting your trust in materials and in financial gain, things that's only temporary. Notice what Christ had to say in Matthew 5, verse 19. It says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And that's pretty plain, isn't it? But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's plain talk. You don't need anyone to twist or pervert what's so plain and understandable. The question is, will you heed? We teach obedience to God's law in the spirit and letter in the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, because that's God's word. We also teach repentance and baptism for the remission of sin and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, because that's God's word. We teach there is no salvation through or anyone or anything except through Jesus Christ, because that's God's word. We also teach that God's Spirit is the earnest or guarantee of eternal life or salvation, and that God only gives His Spirit to those that obey Him, because, my friends, that is God's word. That's what the Bible teaches. We teach that keeping the law of God does not earn salvation for you, because the Bible teaches that itself, and that's what we teach. We teach that you can't earn salvation. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we say. We teach it is a free gift through Christ, because that's what the Bible teaches. But we do teach that God won't give that free gift of eternal life or salvation to anyone unless you obey his laws in the spirit and the letter, because that is what God's word teaches. And you can take that to the bank. That is the word of God. And I ask, who am I or who is anyone else to add to or take away from God's word? Well, if we answer that question, we'd have to say, well, there's no one that can add to or take away from God's word. God says, don't do that. So who am I ask again, or who is anyone else to add to or take away from God's word, whether in teaching or in conduct? God warns over and over in his word not to do that. My friends, I hope you recognize the truth and live by it. The Way It Ought to Be program teaches the truth whether you want to listen or not. We let the seed fall where it will because God has commanded us to teach his word faithfully, and that's what we do. It's up to you whether you want to hear and heed and save yourself a lot of trouble as time goes on. And as I've said before on the Way It Ought to Be program, the earlier you begin to obey God and live by his word, the better your life is going to be, because you quit adding problems to your problems. When you begin to obey God, you quit adding problems to your problems. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't reap what you have sown. That's God's word as well, and we teach that God says that you reap what you sow, and that your own way comes back upon your own head, and that your sins will find you out. In other words, they finally catch up with you, and you pay somewhere, some way, someday, you pay for what you have done. God says you are rewarded according to your works, and that means in this life, and that means in the life to come. But you don't break God's word, my friend, and get away with it. Look around. Look at history. Look what history teaches us. Look what the Bible teaches us about the pre-flood world. What happened? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? And what happened to ancient Israel? What happened to the Canaanite nations and so on? If you're familiar with the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. And you should listen and heed Bible history and secular history. Well, as I said, I hope you recognize the truth and live by it. If you do, your life will continue to get better. And I think we would all like to have a better life, and we can have it. If you would like to know more about living God's way and by his laws, then we invite you to request our free literature, The Narrow Way and the Small Church, the New Testament Example. And all you need to do is call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675 and request your free literature, The Narrow Way and the Small Church, the New Testament Example. Or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Or you may go online, log on to our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. You can also hear pre-recorded programs on our website as well. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today. And again, my friend, I hope you hear and I hope you listen and I hope you turn your life over to God and to his way.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.